that the sun is shining? The S-O-N is shining, whether the S-U-N is shining or not. How many in here is ready for some sunshine and some... I am trying, Miss Robin, I am trying. The Lord must know we need all this rain and moisture and whatever it is, but we're here, we're healthy, we're together. God is good all the time. He's good in the rain. He's good in the sunshine. He's faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a very present God. And so I'm so thankful for him today. I'm thankful for his presence. I'm thankful for you guys and for being gathered here today together. I say all the time, there's something about coming together that just encourages your heart. And my prayer today, Lord, was help us to come together to be changed and challenged. When I come together in the body of Christ, I want to be changed and I want to be challenged. I want my mind changed. I want my thinking changed, because I believe if you'll change your mind, you'll change your body. If you change your heart, you know, if you change your mind, you change your heart. All of those things, change come when we begin to think on a higher level. I want to talk a little bit today about thinking on the level that you've been anointed for and thinking on a higher level. You know, in the school system, there's a push for higher level thinking, higher level learning, and challenging minds to think higher and thinking outside the box. If it were not for those who think outside the box, we would accept status quo and we would stagnate in where we are. What I mean by that is somebody has to first think that you can get to the moon before we build a ship to get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody has to think it's possible to fly before we build a craft that can do that. Somebody has to think that, that electricity is possible. Somebody has to think that, X-rays are possible. And some of the things that we have seen, somebody has to think it before we can have it, before we can build it, before we can see it. I told you that when we went on a trip out west a couple years ago, I was amazed by the, some of the things that we saw, and some of that being, if there's anybody in here been to Crazy Horse and seen some of the statues and the things that they're building on Crazy Horse and where's the president's face is at? Mount Rushmore, there you go, just went out of my head. Mount Rushmore and some of those kind of things. How many know somebody, when a sculptor gets ready to build a monument or a statue or something like that, he has to first be able to see it. They ask a sculptor or a carver one time, how did he know how to carve or to build a statue like that? And he said, I cut away everything that doesn't look like what I see. So if I see a bear, I cut away everything that doesn't look like a bear, right? And so you have to see it first before you can build it. If you want to build a home or a house, how many know you have to have the end in mind? Because if you don't start building with an end in mind, you're going to find yourself halfway through thinking that, where am I going from here? Or I should have done this, or I forgot about the closets, or I forgot about the bathroom, or I didn't lay it out. And so we start with the end in mind, what we want the finished product to be, correct? And so I'm very thankful that God started with the end in mind. Before there was ever a beginning, there was an end in mind. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. And so he does not just instigate your faith. He does not just begin it, but he is the beginning and the end of all things. Hallelujah. And so we begin to think on the level, I believe, that what we are anointed for. I was having trouble the other night sleeping for whatever reason, and I generally don't. But for whatever reason, I was having trouble sleeping, and so I was trying not to disturb the house. And I grabbed my phone and I went to my Kindle app and I opened a book that I had been reading on. And right in the middle of it, it was just some words of encouragement. One of the things said, if your dreams are not scaring you, they're not big enough. And I said, yes, Lord, your servant heareth. You know, and sometimes, and what he means by that is think bigger, dream bigger. You know, we sometimes limit ourselves, and our limitations are not always on how we think. That's on how we think we can make happen what we think. Do I need to say that again? Sometimes we need to, it's not on what we think. It's on how we think what we think we can make happen. In other words, I would love to do this, but I don't have the bank account for it. I would love to do this, but I don't have the skill set for it. I don't have the education for it. I don't have the last name for it. I don't have the opportunity for it. And so sometimes we limit ourselves to things that we talk ourselves out of stuff more than we talk ourselves into it, probably. Am I in the room by myself today? I'm really good at talking myself out of things or telling myself why I can't do it. But I'm getting better on the skill of telling myself why I can. Lay hands on you. Talk you into it, right? Sometimes saying no is a problem. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. So it's saying yes to the right things. It's thinking on the level that you have been anointed for. Somebody in here today say, I'm anointed for that. I'm anointed for that.
This Tom said, can't say you can.
Yep.
You say that?
Yep, Curtis used to say it, and Tom. Don't say you can't. Don't say you tan't, because I know you tan. And that's the instruction that Thomas and Curtis would give us that every year at camp to the boys and girls. He'd say to them, don't say you tan't. I know you tan. And you have to know Curtis to understand that. But he would say that to them. And
that out.
It's pretty profound. I was thinking the same thing as you said that, Aaron. For a man who was born with quite a few, what the world would call limitations, he has overcome a lot. He's an incredible basketball player, a bowler. He can bowl, and he does all kinds of things. He's one of the hardest working people I know. He loves kids and was born with what the world would have labeled him with quite a bit of disability. And as Aaron said, was born premature, what probably beat the odds to even be here. And yet he can probably outwork me or outplay me most days because he just is an active and energetic individual. So don't say you can't, because I know you can. We talked last week about living without limitations, throwing away your measuring stick. Quit measuring yourself by somebody else. Quit measuring your circumstances. Quit saying I'm to this or to that. But there's, you know, sometimes you just got to say, but God. You know, when all the figure or the formula doesn't add up, but God is the ingredient in there that changes all the status quo, that changes the outcome, that changes circumstances, that changes the things we didn't see coming. How many know, can say in here this morning that God has done things in your life that I did not see coming? that God has moved in areas, or God has opened doors, or God has touched areas of your life, and you say, God, I didn't see that one coming. And sometimes those things can be in a positive or a negative way. But I'm thankful for the power of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God that even in our time of limitations, even in our time of struggles, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. We know this, right? Above all that we can even ask or think. So above all that we can ask or think, I do a lot of thinking, sometimes too much thinking. That's the problem. Sometimes you just want to flip that little switch off in the back of your brain and just quit thinking things so much, right? Like overthinking. But he said he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so I think he challenges us to think bigger, think higher, think on these things. Think on a level that you have been anointed for. Are there any anointed people in the house this morning? If you want reformation, you have to be willing to be reshaped in your thinking and in your actions. Reformation, I'm not talking about just reformation in the church. I'm talking about reformation in your life, in your thinking, in your community, whatever it is. If we really want change, then there has to be a willingness to be reshaped in our thinking and then also in our actions. You know, we struggle a lot, I think, over doctrine and theology, which is only a small portion of your journey with God. Do you know that? Your doctrine or your theology is a small portion of your journey, of your relationship with God. Because most time, our doctrine or theology is not necessarily wrong, it's incomplete. You know, the scripture says that we know in part and we see in part. I can't stand up here today and tell you I have all the answers to the questions. I can't stand up and tell you that I've got it all figured out. I can't stand up here and tell you that I know everything that the word says and how it all plays out. But I can stand up and tell you that I know the author of the book. And more importantly than knowing how that all plays out is knowing the author and know who's in charge. Knowing the author of the book. It's a part of your journey. But I believe sometimes understanding lack or limitations in our life causes us to look to a higher place to find the answers that we need and to find the open doors and to find opportunities that God has put in our place. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm not just talking about the power of positive thinking, but thinking on a level of what the word says. Like, the word says things like, when I am weak, he is strong. That's what the word says. The word says, I am salt. The word says, I am light. The word says, I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The word says, I'm an heir and joint heir to the kingdom of heaven. The word says that about me. The word says that's true. And when I know that that's true, then I have to allow my mind to think on a level that knows that that's true. That when things are out of my control, they're not out of his control. And then when I think I'm out of my mind, I'm not out of his mind. I'll say that one again. When I think sometimes I'm out of my mind, I'm not out of his mind. Because some of the things that we think, well, you know, we know it in our heart, we know it in the word, but to allow us to meditate it, to allow it to become grassroots, to allow it to be foundation of how we think and how we operate. And, you know, I say a lot of the times that, you know, spirit-filled, born-again, empowered men and women of God, we need to start thinking out of that mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on the form, right, and became a servant, even obedient to death of the cross. Let this mind, a higher way of thinking, I was born for this. I'm anointed for this. I'm empowered for this. And operating out of a level of the power of the Holy Spirit. in our life. Go ahead and bring up for me Philippians 4:4-9 in the Amplified Bible. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I will say, rejoice. The power of rejoicing. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. I want to read that one again. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. There's your permission to quit worrying. But in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. How many know sometimes we need to be thankful for what we have? And in our thanksgiving, how many know our heart is encouraged to believe for what we don't have? You know, I was thinking when Aaron was talking about my Uncle Curtis today, and I'm sure, Aaron, that when he was born, they told him all the things that he couldn't do instead of all the things that he would be able to do. And so sometimes we look at all the things that we can't do instead of looking at all the things that we can do. We look at all the things we don't have instead of be thankful for all of the things that we do have. Our focus sometimes becomes into the wrong place and said, yeah, this might not be working, but look what is working. Look how far we've come. Look what the Lord has done. Look what is going on. And by prayer and thanksgiving, and you know, even in my prayer life, I have started challenging myself to say, Lord, I thank you that you are healing Carolina. I thank you that you are touching my friend who has cancer. I thank you that you are working on behalf of those who have needs. Not that I'm continually, and I don't, you know, we say, well, do you have to keep praying it over? Do you not pray it over? People have asked me before, said to me before, I don't know how to pray. Well, there is no formula or no format for how you pray. Prayer is conversation with the lover of your soul. Prayer is conversation with the God of the heavens who hung the stars, who hung the moon, who created the heavens and the earth. Conversation is just being able to be open and frank and having a channel of communication with God. And I encourage you to leave out all the these and thous and the holies and the blessed and all of that stuff. Just talk to him. I mean, sometimes just talk to him. I'll go down the road and pray and just pray out loud. Because it just feels good for me to pray out loud all by myself in the car. People think I got Bluetooth in. They think I'm, you know, probably on a conference call. I am on a conference call. Me and Jesus are having a conference call. But I mean, sometimes you just got to get in a place where you just cry out or you speak out. And so the prayer is not always about just another a petition. But, you know, sometimes it's saying, Lord, you know the cry of my heart. You know where I am. You know those that I'm crying out for. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you on their behalf. I thank you that you are moving. I thank you that you are touching. God, I thank you that you're the God of miracles. I thank you for touching my body today. I thank you for protecting my children. I thank you that you know the desires of my heart. You know the beginning from the end. You're the author. You're the finisher. You're the Alpha and the Omega. I thank you, God. Because sometimes the thanks takes me to another level of thinking other than just another petition. And so when I begin to thank God for what I have, it takes up all the time for to complaining for what I don't have. Does that sound all right? But he said, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, a peace that's beyond our understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Do you believe today that you can live in an area, an arena, and a place in your life where you're at peace even though there's turmoil around you? See, Jesus demonstrated that when he was in the ship and there was a storm. Now, he's not in the ship with novice. He's not in the ship with people who don't know how to handle a boat. We got some fishermen in here today. They know how to handle the boat. There's a certain amount of confidence in knowing how to handle a boat, right? In a storm. But the scripture said there came a storm of epic proportion. Have you ever been in a storm in your life of epic proportion? Three of us? Yeah. And I'm not talking about natural storm. I'm talking about there's times when storms hit. It's the big one, Edna. It's like the storm of epic proportion. I just don't know if I'm going to make it through this one, right? Few of us been there. The rest of you, God bless you. But there are some times when you face some storms in your life. And there's storms of epic proportion. But Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Crazy, right? But maybe his confidence wasn't in the boat. Maybe his confidence wasn't in the sea. But maybe his confidence was who was in him. And when the disciples realized who was in their ship, then instead of crying out over the storm, they went and woke him up. How many know sometimes you've got to waken up the Christ inside of you? You've got to alert and waken up the Spirit of God that's in you. And even when we cry out and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Because their question wasn't, Master, we're going to perish. Their question was, do you care? And sometimes when we let ourselves get to the place where we say, God, do you even care what I'm going through right now? I know I'm the only one in the room today. It's ever questioned. God, do you care that I perish? And they woke him up. And Jesus stood up and said, peace, be still. O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Maybe it's because he's asleep in the ship and not at, I don't know, help me out, Jim. He's asleep in the ship, but he's not at the helm. I thought I was going to say that, but I knew I had a Navy man. I had to clear it over here before I said it all backwards. It's like I get myself in trouble when I'm going to talk about football and all that stuff because it's obvious I don't know much about it. So we get in trouble when he's asleep in the ship and not in charge of the ship. Amen. We get in trouble when God is our co-pilot and not our pilot, right? Because when he's our co-pilot, we still have some control over where we're going. And can I just tell you this morning, thank you, God, for the times when things were out of my control. And for all of those unanswered prayers that I thought were the right way to go. And I thought it was the direction that I wanted, but yet God had a bigger plan and he had a bigger purpose and he had a bigger calling and he had a bigger anointing and he had a bigger everything. And we sometimes don't understand it in the midst of where we are. Hallelujah. But there is times when you have to trust your faith and say, God, I trust the promise. I trust who's in the ship more than I trust the power of the storm. There are some times when you got to stand up and say, I am the storm. Come on, somebody. You got to sometimes stand up in the ship and say, I am the storm. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ. Yeah, I've told some stories before. It's that peace that transcends, that peace that you don't understand, that peace that comes that you know is divine. And there have been times in my life, and I could tell you the stories of them this morning, when I absolutely knew the power of the Holy Spirit came in and set up on me, and I knew it was the peace of God. funerals, where when you step behind the podium, you knew the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit was there. Not of yourself, but divine. Sitting beside of the bed of someone who's dying but yet has not received Christ as their Savior. Power of the Holy Spirit steps in, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I told you the story one time. The neighbors called me. Their son was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. I didn't know the son. We knew the neighbors. For whatever reason, I was going to go shopping, and I didn't go home. That was the first thing I knew was God. But I went back home, and I wasn't home. I wasn't in the house for a few minutes, and my phone rang and said, "Our son is dying. Hospice said to call minister. Will you come?" I wasn't their minister. I was just their neighbor. And I said, "Yeah, I'll come." I didn't have time to grab my Bible. I didn't have time to fast and pray. I didn't have time to do anything else except put my shoes on and go next door. When I got out of my car, I opened my car door. I went to walk down the sidewalk, and I heard him crying in pain. And my knees got weak because I'm like, and I said, "Help me, Holy Ghost." You ever had a day like that? "Help me, Holy Ghost." I get inside. I don't know what the faith level is. I don't know if they're believers. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Right now, this person needs peace. And this family around them needs peace. And I prayed with him, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I said, "Sir, I don't know about your life. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He forgives you, and he receives you." Simple. Simple, right? He loves you, he forgives you, and he receives you. And I want you to know the peace of the Holy Spirit is in this room right here today. It wasn't 5 minutes till that gentleman passed away. And I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in that room. His sister came to me when she passed. She said, "You don't know how powerful that was." Because part of what was happening here is his fear was of dying. And he felt like he had wronged so many people when he went to them and tried to make amends and try to forgive. But he felt like he was unlovable and unforgivable. And he said, "When you said that, that God loves him, God forgives him, and God receives him," she said, "you could see the peace of God come down over his life, over his mind, and over his heart." And at that point, he was released. The power of the Holy Spirit was in that room. I can't explain it. I can't tell you all the ins and outs, but I can tell you I have experienced the supernatural peace of God that transcends your emotional state, that will give you peace in the midst of storms and circumstances, that whatever it is you're crying out for, that the power of God is so real and so alive that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. One of the, probably the better funerals, I won't say the best, but one of the better funerals that I ever did, I was with the spouse who had lost. She had a major meltdown right before we got ready to do the service. And when she did, I thought, "Oh, again, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. You got to help me be strong. Because my name's Lisa, and I'm a crier." So I'm pretty much guarantee you it's going to happen, right? But when I stepped up, and I felt the... And literally, before I stepped up, I was sitting in the pew, and I said, "Lord, you have got to give me strength. You have got to give me peace. You have got to bring the power of the Holy Spirit, or I cannot do this." And literally, it felt like something went from the top of my head. I felt it go down my body. I felt it go from the top of my head down to the bottom of my feet. And I said, "There it is." Just like that, I knew. I said, "There it is." And I felt the presence of God, that real and that strong. I want to tell you, there is a peace that can come For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. Whatsoever things are good and lovely and honorable and virtuous and excellence, think on these things. It doesn't take very long to hang out in a crowd of negative speaking people until negativity gets in your spirit. It doesn't take you very long to sit down and watch sometimes the evening news until negativity gets in your spirit. Sure could use a little good news today. You know the song? Anne Murray sang it. And so we sometimes focus our mind on everything that's negative and what's wrong instead of focusing our mind on everything that's good and positive. Yeah, there was some negativity that happened today, because do you know that negativity sells? But what about the positivity? What about the good things that happened today? And so beginning to focus our mind and fix our mind on them, think on the level that you've been anointed for. Think on a higher level. Think on these things. Next verse was a moment. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is the apostle speaking. And model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Living in a state of higher level thinking, think on these things. Meditate. Let your mind be fixed on these things. Hallelujah. When I told you the other night I was having some trouble sleeping. I had been sick and some different things like that. And then my system was off, I knew. So I had to think on when I wasn't sleeping. I have to, figure out ways that I can put myself to sleep, right? So I quote scripture to myself. And I pray, and I think of all the scriptures that I know, and I quote those scriptures, because it takes my mind to another place. It takes my mind to another level, and my focus shifts. And so then I got my phone, and then I got my Kindle app, and then when I read it, it's like, okay, Lord, I hear you. You're speaking, but those aren't scientific cures. How many know that there are simple things that we know to do? But how many know what mostly happens is what's going through our mind is all the negative things, all the things we worry about, all the things we're concerned about. So it's taking your mind to another level. I want to go real quickly to a scripture, Matthew chapter 9. No, I'm sorry, Lisa. I want to go to John chapter 2. I scrolled too fast. Sorry about that. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus said to her, Dear woman, what is that to you and to me? My time to act and to be revealed has not yet come. His mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification. It was a ceremonial washing, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, "Draw out now and take it to the head waiter of the banquet." So they took it to him, and when the head waiter tasted the water, which had turned into wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone else serves his best wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not so good. But you have kept back the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, attesting miracles, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, displaying his deity and his great power openly. And his disciples believed confidently in him as the Messiah. They adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Jesus and his mother and his friends, his disciples, are invited to the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Now, we know this is the first miracle of Jesus, right? The first miracle that Jesus does, he does it at the Cana of Galilee, and he turns water into wine, right? So I love this story because, first of all, Jesus, the mother of Jesus, finds out that they have no wine. And so she says to Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus says back to her, dear woman, what is that to us? Why is that our concern? This is not our wedding. It's not our concern. But most of you men in here know that if there's an issue going to be happening at the wedding, that the ladies are going to stand up and say, somebody needs to take care of this, right? Right? And so, yeah. Will you go get this? Will you pick this up? We're out of this. Or how many know there's a lot of works and a lot of stressing goes into a wedding. But I love how this happens because, you know, he says to her, my hour has not yet come. In other words, I've not revealed really, truly who I am yet. My unveiling has not yet happened. But Mary, his mother, has the confidence in who he is. He said, Jesus, he has no wine. And she says to him, he basically says to her mother, what is that to us? What does that mean to us? And she does not respond to what he says. She says, whatever he says to you, just do it. She doesn't go back and say, well, Jesus, you know, they're out of wine. And if they don't get wine, then the wedding's going to be a flop. If the wedding's a flop, the marriage is probably not going to last. And the marriage don't last, then it's relatives and we got to hang out with, you know. There's none of that. She just says, whatever he says to you, do it. If you don't remember anything else I said this morning, remember, whatever he says to you, just do it. Just do it because it may be your opportunity for a miracle. You know, some of Joseph's training for being in the house of the Pharaoh came because he was in the house of Potiphar first. And some of what you've walked through in your life, some of what you've had to deal with, some of where you have been may just be the training you need to be in charge of Pharaoh's house. Your dream in the beginning may be your ticket to get you where God wants to take you. So whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. But here's what I want you to think about this morning. She says, we have no wine. He says, what is that to us? She says, whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus doesn't miss a beat. They have no wine. I was anointed for that. They have no food for the multitude. I was anointed for that. That man's eyes are blind. I was anointed for that. David, there's a giant that defies the armies of the living God. I was anointed for that. There are things in our life that become as if they are obstacles to us. But how many know sometimes they are stepping stones for you to get where God wants to place you in your life. And what seems like delay sometimes is just God being right on time in your life. There's sometimes when you got to stand up in the midst of things and say, you know what, I was anointed for that. I got a big test coming up. That's okay. I was anointed for that. I got a doctor's appointment coming up. I got some results coming back. I was anointed for that. I might be having crisis in my life, but you know what? There's an anointing inside me that's more powerful than the forces that are working against me. I was anointed for that. And so instead of the wedding being without wine, Jesus just steps up and says, you know what? I was anointed for that. Now, this whole wedding is not just so that Jesus could turn water into wine, right? Because he's going to be everybody's best friend with that one. It's not just about the miracle. But the scripture says that he takes the water from the six pots that were for the purification of the Jews. In other words, it was the hand wash sink. Somebody wrap your head around that for a minute. He's going to take the water out of the hand wash sink and use it to turn into wine and then take it to the head waiter of the wedding. What he's doing is challenging, because in that day, remember that they said of Jesus' disciples, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? And Jesus basically said to them, that's what worries you? Because they're eating with unwashed hands? But you have forsaken your mother and your father. You have forsaken the laws of God. You have turned to your traditions of men, and you're worried because my disciples eat with unwashed hands. Don't you know that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what in man's heart that defiles him? It's not the outward thing that defiles a man. It's the inward things. I mean, no, we have wasted so many years trying to clean up what's on the outside, when we'll just let God adjust the heart and fine tune the heart and the mind of a man and cause God to change man's heart. And when he does, I will tell you that the outside will line up with what is going on the inside. I spent a lot of my time being disqualified for the outside things when I didn't know that God had already qualified me on the inside. And when I got a revelation of who I was, I realized that the outside lines up with the inside. And all of a sudden, God wants to take what we think is not worth anything and expand it and make it powerful for the work of his kingdom. He said, what I'm going to do is what you've taken man's attempts to wash themselves and to clean themselves up. How many know they were all about ceremonial washings and cleansings and cleaning up the outside? He said, on the outside, you're like whited sepulchers, but inside, you're full of dead man's bones. You might look alive on the outside, but inside, you're dying. God wants to work on the heart. So what he says is, I'm anointed for that.
There was no turning back for him. But one evening he came home. I had made a mistake. And he sat down and he went down to have his supper. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, if you drink that, you'll go back to what you was. You'll not go forward. Got up and poured that beer down the sink, and I thought, God, he really did get saved.
Hallelujah.
You know. Walked it out. There was never a time when I looked at him and thought, he's kind of backsliding a little bit on me, you know. But he was faithful to the reading of his word. He had faith that amazed me sometimes. And I saw God move for him. He was a soul winner. And he had the gift to give people the Holy Ghost. All he had to do was lay his hands on them, and they received it. Anointed for those certain things. For a man with no education, as far as I'm concerned, he was at the top.
He was anointed for that. I was anointed for that. But what they had used as man's attempt to clean themselves up. But the scripture says that he said, most people serve the best wine first. Then they put out the not so good stuff when nobody notices, right? When nobody notices, then you put out the cheap wine. He said, but you've saved the best for last. I mean, no, he's not just talking about a wedding party. What he's saying is the best, guys, is yet to come. What you knew under the old covenant, man's attempt to clean themselves, man's ceremonial washings, man's following their traditions, and under the old covenant, the Mosaic law and that system. He said, but you're about to experience the new wine of the kingdom of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. It's not a hopped up old covenant. It's a new covenant, a new testament, a new system, a new heart, a new way. Hallelujah. And he said, he gives it to the servants. He says, now go take this to governor of the feast. How many of you all would have had the same heart and the strength to believe if they'd have dipped it out of those wash pots? So now go take this to the governor of the feast. Now, I've preached this before. My question would be, is it red wine or white? Because if it's red wine, I'm taking it. If it's white wine, I might not be so confident in this man who I've not ever encountered or ever experienced before. But how many, when they tasted of that wine, they said, wow, this is supernatural. This is nothing we've ever tasted before. I want you to declare in your life this morning that we are encountering something that we have never tasted before. We've never been this way before. But the power of the Holy Spirit wants to take us to new levels, to new heights, to new encounters, where we just trust him and say, whatever he says to you, do it, because you're anointed for that. You're empowered and you're anointed for that in your life. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Amen. Amen. Whatever kingdom you're in, everything in that kingdom is available to you. It's a new day. It's a new system. It's not about what you can do from the outside in, but what God can do from the inside out in you. And he wants to pour that new wine of the Spirit into you, into your life, into this season. Hallelujah. And to remind you that you are anointed and appointed, you are chosen, you are called. Hallelujah. And the best is yet to come. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. In whatever season you walk in, there is supernatural peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As Crystal plays this morning, if you have not encountered Jesus, if you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you want to do that this morning, our altars are open. Because I want you to encounter that presence. I want you to encounter that anointing, that Holy Spirit. We're here to pray with you for whatever the need is in your life. As we focus on him this morning, let him just pour that anointing oil, the new wine, into you and through you in Jesus' name.